All right, welcome back to The Hip Hop Enthusiast with your host, as always, Kyle French. We got an interesting show for you guys today. We're going to switch it up a little bit from our regular format. We will have one album review. We're going to be reviewing Dizzy Wright's The Golden Age 2. Pretty solid album there. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it's just going to be one album review today. We usually do two. And instead, I'm going to switch it up. And, you know, there's only one album that I really wanted to get to this week. And so what I'm going to do is put in a new segment for you guys. I'm going to call it What's On My Mind. Pretty much I'm going to choose a topic that's somewhat hotly debated in hip-hop, something that, you know, I feel strongly about and I want to get my thoughts out on. And I'm just going to dive into that for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So you guys can look forward to that. That'll be coming a little later in the show. We'll also have Song of the Week, as always. And then I got a couple big announcements for upcoming albums. And we're going to just prepare for a chaotic couple weeks coming up. A lot of big names dropping. A lot of, you know, hot albums coming out. So we probably will get away from the What's On My Mind segment again for the next couple weeks, because I know there's going to be a bunch of albums that I want to get to and review. But as always, we're going to kick the show off with the next slot on my Top 10 New School Artist Countdown. And today we have number 5 coming in hot, Meek Mill. For those of you who know him, he's a pretty big name. I'm sure most people do. He just dropped an album. I reviewed it a couple episodes ago. So most people are familiar with Meek Mill, but he's a Philadelphia rapper. He's 30 years old. His career really got started in like 2010. He dropped a bunch of mixtapes before that time. I think he dropped like 3 or 4 prior to 2010, but that was kind of his breakthrough. That's when he got signed to a major label. People started to hear about him. The first few were more just like come-up tapes. You know, no one really knows about him. It was just when he was a local guy on the scene. Officially, he does have 9 mixtapes, if you include those early ones. He's got his Flamers mixtape series, which he has 4 installments of that. He's got Mr. Philadelphia, and he has his Dream Chasers mixtape series, which has 4 installments of that as well. And that one is really what got his career started. You know, Dream Chasers 1 was his first big mixtape, I would say. And they're more for, like, the hardcore fans. You know, on his albums, he goes with more of a refined focus. He has more mainstream, you know, radio-ready material. But on the Dream Chasers mixtapes, it's usually just straight bangers, and I love it. Like, if you ask people who really are big Meek fans, they're probably going to tell you one of the Dream Chasers mixtapes is their favorite project by him. And then on top of those mixtapes, he has 3 albums. He has Dreams and Nightmares, his debut. He has Dreams Worth More Than Money, and Wins and Losses, which just came out a couple weeks ago in 2017. And a pretty solid album for the year, competing for top 10. He also has compilation albums. He's part of the MMG music label. You know, he was working with guys like Rick Ross, who's kind of the boss over there. Wale was on there. O'Malley, who's actually Meek's cousin, is on there. Joe Staley's on there. And they came together. They made 3 compilation albums called Self-Made Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. Pretty straightforward. But those were, you know, they did pretty well commercially, maybe not critically. But, you know, that's not, the music they make isn't going to get super high critical scores. You know, Meek's signature characteristic is his energetic delivery. People often accuse him of, like, shouting into the mic and shouting on all of his tracks. And there's a bunch of jokes and memes about it. But for me, I like it. I mean, it's always exciting. It's easy to get behind. There's never, like, a dull moment. It's always, like, going hard. The production's usually, like, upscale. It's really upbeat. And, you know, it's easy to get into and sing along with. And that's just, you know, why Meek is a great artist. He makes music that people really enjoy listening to. I'm the first one to admit, you know, he's not like the greatest lyricist. His messages aren't super deep. It's usually superficial stuff. He often gets criticized for mentioning, you know, his role is in like every song, which is a little bit of an over-exaggeration. He does not do that all the time. And he does have a bunch of songs that aren't just, you know, straight bangers. You know, he has his Tony Story tracks, which there's 3 installments of those, all on his, or no, one is not on his Dream Chasers mixtapes. But anyway, they were spread out over like 4 years, and they pretty much tell one long, cohesive story, which is really cool. It really proves that Meek's more than just like a hype artist. And a couple other examples of him, you know, really putting across decent messages would be Traumatized and Used to Be. Those 2 songs are some of my favorites. I'll give you my list of my top Meek Mill songs later. Both those will probably make it. And they're not, you know, just straight hype tracks, so. But since he is known for that type of music, Some big songs that really got people into him would be like I'm a Boss, Burn, House Party, Levels. Those would be the songs that really got his name out there. You know, people would play him at parties. You know, people would, I would hear people play them in all different types of settings just because they're fun, hype tracks. Everybody could get behind him and enjoy him. And, you know, that's how me kind of blew up on the scene. And for me, you know, like there's this move with the subgenre of trap and, you know, mumble rap and lit rap and whatever you want to call it. And people are like, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't have lyrical rap all the time. You know, it gets boring. And for me, I'm not really much of a prescriber to that theory. I'm not a big trap, mumble, lit rap fan. For me, like Meek, I guess, would be that guy who breaks it up from straight lyricism and is more just a guy that you just have fun listening to and enjoy, you know, more for the sonic elements and just the aggressive tone in his voice. And it's fun. And he's not quite like a trap artist. I would consider him more like along the lines of like a 50 Cent, who's like this gangster rap street artist. And, you know, he might not be as good of a lyricist as 50 Cent, not even as good of an artist just in general. 50's definitely ahead of him, but that style of music, I could see similarities between, you know, 50 and Meek, whereas I would never see a similarity between 50 and trap. So that he's somewhere in that middle ground there, making music in between. If I'm recommending somebody get into Meek Mill and his discography, I would have to say start with Dreams and Nightmares. This was his debut actual album. It's not as raw as his tapes, like I mentioned earlier. It's a little bit more refined. There are some, you know, radio hits on there. And, you know, it's not always just straight, raw, aggressive bars. But for me, it's probably a top 10, top 15 album of the 2010s. There's very few skippable tracks, if any. There is one of the Tony Storr installments on there, Tony Storr Part 2, and it contains what I would consider probably his best song in Dreams and Nightmares. It's the intro. I'll play it for you guys in a little bit because I think it's just the best example of who Meek is as an artist and what type of music he makes. Next, moving on from that, I would say number 2, look at his Dream Chasers 2 mixtape. This is just bangers after bangers after bangers. I mean, it's hype all the way through. You know, a lot of hardcore fans, they say this is his best project. A lot of Meek fans I talk to absolutely love this tape. A lot of hidden gems that most rap fans either never heard or, you know, there's no radio hits on here. And it was before Dreams and Nightmares. So his name wasn't quite as big. But if you go back and listen to it, there's so many great tracks on there. And third, I would probably say Wins and Losses, which just came out less than a month ago. Probably his best, like, mix of, you know, bangers and softer songs, and he has a very like clear vision on it. It's probably his best. I would never say he makes concept albums, but the themes were a lot more consistent and meaningful on Wins and Losses than other projects, except for Dreams and Nightmares, which I already mentioned would be the first album I'd recommend you listen to. So those three, Dreams and Nightmares, Dream Chasers 2, and Wins and Losses. After that, you know, definitely check out his other mixtapes, Dream Chasers 3, Dream Chasers 4, both good tapes. One that, for me, I would stay away from, and one of the reasons Meek Mill isn't higher on this list, is his album Dreams Worth More Than Money, which came out in 2015. It was actually his best album commercially. He made a lot of money off it. It was, you know, it had probably some of his biggest hits, but I don't know, it was too mainstream, too trap-influenced, which I mentioned earlier. I'm not a huge fan of that subgenre, and I think Meek was kind of lost at the time. He was too like rich and famous to make the music that he came up making, and so he ended up making some really superficial, really no message, just these like lit trap songs that I just was not a fan of. And you know, had he not put out that album, maybe he's higher on this list for me. For me, that really hurts him and his discography overall. But a great artist. I mean, I have him at number 5, so obviously I love him. My top songs by Meek Mill would be I'm a Boss, Tony Storr, all three of them really, Dream Chasers, Dreams and Nightmares, The End, My Life, A1 Everything, Issues, Traumatized, Young Kings, House Party, Big Dreams, Heaven or Hell, Polo and Shell Tops, and 1942 Flows. So I know that was a lot, but, you know, run that back, write down those songs, go check them out. All fire, all some of Meek's best work, in my opinion. And so now I'll play Dreams and Nightmares for you guys. It's one of his more famous songs, so I would imagine most people have heard it. If by chance you haven't heard it and you're a rap fan, I'm sure you'll love it. And I would really suggest that you get into Meek Mill and the Dreams and Nightmares album as a whole. So here goes, his Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill.
Ain't this what they've been waiting for? You ready? I used to pray for times like this, to rhyme like this, so I had to grind like that, to shine like this. In a matter of time I spent on some locked up shit in the back of the paddy wagon, cuffs locked on wrists. See my dreams unfold, nightmares come true. It was time to marry the game and I said yeah I do. If you want it you gotta see it with a clear eye view. Got shorty, she try and bless me like I said I chew. Like a nigga sneeze, nigga please, for them trick and squeeze, I'm getting cream. Never let them hoes get in between of what we started. Little nigga, but I'm lying hearted. They love me when I was stuck and they hate it when I departed. I go and get it regardless. Draw like I'm an artist, no crawling, went straight to walking with foreigns. In my garages are foreign bitches menaging, fucking sucking and swallowing anything for a dollar. They tell me get him, I got him, got him. I did it without an album. I did shit with Mariah. Lil nigga, I'm on fire. Icy as a hockey ring, Philly nigga, I'm flyer. When I bought the Rolls Royce, they thought it was lease. Then I bought that new Ferrari, hater, rest in peace. Hater, rest in peace to the parking lot. Phantom so big, can't even fit in the parking spot. You ain't talking about my niggas, then what you talking about? Gangsters move in silence, nigga, and I don't talk a lot. I don't say a word, I don't say a word. Was on my grind and now I got what I deserve. Fuck nigga, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. When I bought the Aston Martin, y'all thought it was rented. Flexing on these niggas, I'm like Papa on the spinach. Double M, yeah, that's my team. Rose, the captain, I'm lieutenant. I'm the type of can of men cash, then grind like I'm broke. That Lambo, my new bitch, she'll ride like my ghost. I'm riding around my city with my hands strapped on my toes. Cause these niggas want me dead, and I gotta make it back home. Cause my mama need that bill money, my son need some milk. These niggas try to take my life, they fuck around, get killed. You fuck around, you fuck around, you fuck around, get smoked. Cause these Philly niggas I pull with me, don't fuck around, no joke. No, all I know is murder. When it come to me, I got young niggas that's rolling, I got niggas throwing bees. I done did the DOA, I done did the KODs. Every time I'm in that bitch, I get to throwing 30 G's. But now I'm hanging out that drop head, I'm riding down no collar. They let my nigga earn back home, that young nigga be wildin'. We young niggas, we mobbin', like Batman and we're robbin'. This two-door Maybach with my seat on reclining. I'm like, real nigga, what up? Real nigga, what up? If you ain't about that murder game, then pussy nigga, shut up. If you dip me in your
I just love how that song builds up. You know, it starts kind of quiet and he's just sitting there, and then as the beat builds and he gets more aggressive, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's hitting you with a slapper at the end. So, you know, one of my friends actually described that song best. He said he could see Meek Mill like sitting on stage, just like sitting on a chair, like crying as he does the first half. And then he's like, yeah, and he just stands up and he like punts the chair into the crowd, and everybody just goes crazy as, you know, he comes in with the, you know, more aggressive sound like halfway through. I thought that was a great way to describe, you know, the track in general. I could really see that, you know, as he was saying that. So that was cool. And so that's Meek Mill, number 5 on my new school artist countdown. We'll have 4 for you next week, so stay tuned for that. You know, it's getting down to the end here. So there's a couple predictable names up top, but I think a couple that might surprise some people. So we'll see. So now we're going to transition into our lone album review of the day. Just one for you guys today. And it is The Golden Age 2 by Dizzy Wright. Dizzy Wright is honestly a pretty underrated rapper. He doesn't get a lot of love commercially or critically. He's not super popular. You know, he does have probably a few dedicated fans and real hip-hop enthusiasts know who he is. But, you know, he's definitely under the radar. He's from Las Vegas. He's 26. This is his 3rd album. He's got a handful of mixtapes. The Golden Age 1 being one of, you know, his big mixtapes. That probably put him on the scene. That was the first project I heard from him. That came out in 2013. He was a part of the Funk Volume music label. Some people may know, you know, Jaron Benton was a big guy who came out of that label as well. But as for the album, I would say it was a very solid addition to Dizzy's discography there. You know, the first two albums, I'm not going to lie, I didn't really get into them too much, so I can't give great feedback on them. But I would say this one is definitely better than the first two and better than The Growing Process, which came out, I believe, in 2015. So, you know, Dizzy's back. And I think titling it The Golden Age 2 definitely helped him and assisted him with that, because The Golden Age being his big project, you know, it had the name recognition and people were like, oh, you know, he's back. He's got that sound. He's back with it. And it was similar in some aspects. I didn't see it, you know, as like a second coming of the Golden Age. It wasn't the exact same sounds or style or themes. But overall, it was a pretty good album. And I'll give you my overall rating later. But as for now, the main themes on here is pretty much Dizzy Wright just describing where he's at in life. He discusses, you know, his current family situation, his friends. He reflects a lot on what he's learned in his years in the music industry. And he just shares his thoughts on, you know, what he sees around him in the world. One of the primary topics on here that he talked about a surprising amount, maybe a little too much, was he was pretty much calling out all the fakes in the music industry. You know, apparently there's a lot of people who turned their back on him or, you know, weren't great friends to him, whatever it was. A bunch of broken relationships apparently in the industry. And that leads to one of the highlights on here called FFL, which is an acronym for Fuck Fake Love. And that really shows that theme. You know, obviously he's saying, you know, fuck the fakes, you know. So that's pretty straightforward, but it's a nice, like, relaxed track, has nice piano keys. And what I like most about this track is not only does it point out the people who wronged him, but now he's talking about he's changing his focus, he's putting all that behind him, and he's focusing on what really matters. I guess, you know, playing words from fake love, he's talking about real love and, you know, his family. And one of the lines in here, he says, you know, family and music, this is it for me. And he does have two kids. And so now he's progressing through life. He's getting to a new stage. And he's pretty much saying, I'm going to switch up my focus, put all that bullshit behind me and focus on what really matters. And so I thought it was a really positive message in the track. And, you know, it was kind of the duality of not only is he pointing out the wrongs, but he's now got a new vision, which is nice to hear. The ironic thing is, you know, right after he says, you know, I'm putting that behind me, and I'm not focusing on it anymore, the next two songs, Do the Most and Fraud, continue with the same theme in more of an aggressive manner. And Do the Most is actually a really fun song. I liked how he put that right after FFL. And these three do come, like, directly in line in the track list. They're 4, 5, 6. And Do the Most has a great chorus. It's fun. It's kind of like the upbeat, hype, energetic alternative to what FFL was. And so in that case, I liked it, like the contrast between the two. But by the time the third one hit, which is Fraud, it was like, okay, you've talked about the same things for like three songs in a row. Probably time to move on, especially since in the first song you said you were moving on. So from that standpoint, I don't know why he put them all in a row. And I don't think he needed all three of them. I really liked the first two, but like I said, by the third one, it got a little old. And he also dips into a couple tracks on here where he's more like empowering his people. You know, he's an African-American man. And one of the primary and initial uses of hip-hop was to empower those people and the black people and lead them out of, you know, the tough situations that many rappers come from. And, you know, they're trying to just help everyone from their communities and stuff like that. And so it's good to see him throw a couple of those tracks on here, some of them being Loophole, Give It To Him Real, and Outrageous, which has a great Big Crit feature. These tracks definitely made for some of the deepest and, you know, more powerful songs on here, which was good to hear because he did fall into occasionally this, like, childish, playful flow with some, like, corny lyrics. So switching it up and getting back to, you know, really profound material definitely helped him. But speaking of those somewhat childish, playful songs, one example was Big Shots. And it just has this, like, sing-songy, poppy hook on it that reminded me of the upcoming rapper Kyle, if anybody knows who that is. And I know I share a name with him, and I just do not like his music really whatsoever, which is too bad because it would be cool if a rapper had the same name as me. But anyway, that's besides the point. And Dizzy reminded me of him, and which for me is a negative because I don't like Kyle's style. And more than anything, it was just the flow, like the way he delivered the lines. They weren't terrible in themselves, but, you know, the hook pretty much revolves around this line where he says, you know, they ain't used to Vegas heat. They ain't know it got this hot. I'm the MVP. Tell the coach I got the big shots. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't like that line. It's just basic, not a great metaphor to make, and I don't know, just wasn't feeling it. So that was one of my least favorite songs. Although before I, you know, get on him too much, and I do definitely not like that hook on Big Shots, but for the most part, the choruses on here, which he performed, he didn't really bring a lot of people in to do the choruses for him, which plenty of rappers do. He did most of them, and I thought he did a really good job. A couple of them being, you know, Do The Most, which I mentioned earlier, has a great chorus. J.O.B., where he actually reminds me a lot of Kanye West. He really sounded like him. At first, I thought Kanye was featured, and I checked, and he wasn't, and it was just Dizzy, you know, changing up his voice a little bit. That was cool. In Desperate Need, which he actually has a female singer named Shelley, I believe, come on the song, and they kind of two-time do a duet on the hook, and it sounds really good. Sometimes she's the background vocalist. Sometimes they're perfectly in sync. And I thought he did really well on that one. Another one was Choosin', which he really, like, sang. A lot of these, he did, like, a melodic rap type of thing on the hook. But Choosin', he actually pretty much sang. And I thought he did a pretty good job there, too. So props to him for, you know, doing well on the choruses. I mentioned a few times earlier about the features. Features were solid. I didn't like Reezy's, which I pointed out. But Big Crit and G Perico really came through and delivered some good lines. Demrick, who I believe is a Funk Volume member as well, came through with a good verse. And so overall, I did like this album. I thought it got a little long. It was almost 70 minutes. And toward the end, it did feel like there was some filler tracks, some songs that didn't necessarily need to be there. And they were starting to lose my attention. You know, I was getting halfway through songs, and then I was like, what am I listening to? I forgot. And so there were a few at the end, like Give It To Me Real, which had a good message. But just by that point, I was somewhat getting tired of listening to Dizzy, and he wasn't doing anything exciting with his delivery or his voice. And I Can't Keep Falling was another one right near the end of the track list. That was just a little dry to me, a little sleepy. But overall, I would say top tracks were FFL, Do The Most, Pet Peeve, which I didn't mention. That might have the best lyrics of any song on here, probably the best rhyme schemes and stuff like that. Loophole, and the intro, Looking Up. So those are the top tracks. The worst tracks would be Talk To Me, Don't Hold Back, which is the one definite skip on here. Most songs I can listen to, that one was like 5 minutes of nothing that I really enjoyed. It was really slowed down. He was pretty much just talking to a woman, saying the same things over and over. And it's like a two-part track, like Talk To Me / Don't Hold Back. I didn't like either side. I don't know why he didn't just make it two separate songs. It didn't seem like they had, it was that important to keep them together. So that was one of my least favorites. And then Big Shots, which I mentioned, and I Can't Keep Falling, which I just mentioned as well. So overall, the good songs were great, but there were some things holding this back. And I'm going to give this album, The Golden Age 2 by Dizzy Wright, a 7.5 out of 10. Pretty solid rating. Probably a top 20 album, maybe right now. Top 25, top 20, somewhere in there. So we'll see where it ends up at the end of the year. Definitely not going to be competing for a top spot. We'll see if it has good replay value. I'm not sure if I'll be coming back to it. It's hard to tell after only a week of listening. And that's with most albums. Some you know immediately that you're going to be playing for a long, long time. But those are the elite projects. The ones that are middle of the road, what separates them is replay value, which is, as it sounds, just how many times you go back and re-listen to the album and re-listen to the songs. You know, it has a lot to say about the catchiness and, you know, attention-grabbing nature of the album. And this one is right on the line for me. I could go back and listen to some of these songs. I think one thing that will hurt this album's replay value is I know we have some big albums coming next week and the following week, which I'll announce at the end of the show. And, you know, it could get caught up in a whirlwind where, you know, I kind of forget that The Golden Age 2 came out because I've been listening to these other great albums recently. And so that could hurt. You know, it happened to Joey Badass with All American Badass. He dropped, and a week later, Kendrick dropped, which is obviously going to steal, you know, some of his clout there. But enough of me talking. I'll play some songs for you guys here from Dizzy Wright's The Golden Age 2. We're going to start with my favorite song, which I started off the review talking about, FFL, acronym for Fuck Fake Love. And I'll play that one for you guys right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm back on this notebook shit, man. Trying to keep my head off the phone and my head in this book. It's page one for the kid. Check it out. Yo, woke up this morning. Crucial timing. My son crying, I'm back to them daddy duties, yeah. Yo, I be lying if I ain't say I was happy with raising my kids. Even with the changing diapers and wiping booty, life is truly a trip for me. Being a father is a gift to me. Family and music, this is it for me. Yo, this remind me of them 09 days. Driving by where I graduated just for old time's sake. Thinking of when they used to say, what you wanna be in 10 years? Looking at the teacher crazy, like, bitch, do you know where we live? The whole time I had hope, I just didn't know how to feel. I fell deep in my thoughts, I can't be playing the field. Especially if I want a family like Jada and Will. Yo, who inspired you that spoke they mind and ain't been killed? Mentally beaten down, broken down to the point it's hard to hold on to a smile. My eyes is all dried out, I mean,
fuck fake love, fuck fake love.
Yo, I can't focus on the pain no more.
Fuck fake love, fuck fake love.
It ain't about the shit that you claim no more.
Fuck fake love, fuck fake love.
Oh, niggas don't think they need to change no more.
Fuck fake love, fuck fake love.
Just do what you love, that's what we came here for. Ayo, use 100,000 for 100,000 words. Get rich just to talk to bitches like I'm Howard Stern. I've learned that only cowards turn. Shit, well maybe not only, but leave it up to the homies whenever the tables turn. They gon' confront your ass, turn them to punching bags. I'm always calming niggas down so we don't be where trouble at. Retrace my steps and double back and I'm reminded that it's niggas with no niggas and they fine with that. Yo, are you kidding? Since day one I've been Jay kidding. Throwing assists at Chris Paul to Blake Griffin. They selling a fake vision. Fake love and fake niggas get exposed for portraying a different image. This life we live in a scrimmage. God sub me in. When you got kids you live for them. I need another 10. I need a lifetime partner. Let's stack a couple limbs. Let's get this savings right. I'm obviously not playing right.
Fuck fake love, fuck fake love.
Yo, I can't focus on the pain no more.
So that was Fuck Fake Love, FFL. And the next one I'm going to play for you guys is Do The Most. It came right after FFL on the track list. And it was kind of like the contrast, like almost like the back half backlash of the same concepts and theme of that track. So we'll play that one next. This is Do The Most by Dizzy Wright.
These niggas think they gotta do the most. Stand back, nigga, don't come close. Cause y'all fucking up the game. I don't know why these niggas think they gotta do the most. Stand back, nigga, don't come close. Cause y'all fucking up the game.
You following me, I just need to hear all them yeses. Valuable methods.
Eye contact for the respect whenever requested. Like I was elected, I'm quick accepting collections. Hungry for seconds to be at this table. You better be in control of them pleasures. I got the sauce like I had some and ordered extra. You better get with it. I spread that world peace like I'm meta. This is big business. I'm talking CEOs and trendsetters. Came when they wouldn't let us. We never let it affect us. Family man, I like them holidays and ugly Christmas sweaters on my downtown. I like to smoke a pound and switch some letters. I'm a simple man with how to get away with murder on his schedule. It's time for the golden age. We headed for the golden medal. Way better than my older level. I'm an over dedicated nigga. Yeah, the rebel Vegas nigga. I'm hottest in the coldest weather. You must ain't learn the game or you don't know no better. It's funny cause
I don't know why these niggas think they gotta do the most. Stand back, nigga, don't come close. Cause y'all fucking up the game.
I don't know why these niggas think they gotta do the most. Stand back, nigga, don't come close. Cause y'all fucking up the game.
Message gotta be universal but organic. So we
love all the time, spread that peace and love all the time. Fuck fake love and fake raps, it's where we draw the line. I'm still moving, you standing, still getting barking fines. I grind hard so I can enjoy my son and daughter time. Family man I am, yeah, I'm slapping cam. Then I dip set to get it ASAP, R.I.P. the yams. Crazy how the flow sounding different already. I'm keeping it G and she keeping it sexy. But them boys in the hood saying they ready for Dizzy. Creating enemies, yo, and now you screaming for Ricky. I'm Tory Lanez, Liddy. I know what they want, like wrestling for the fame hitting. When niggas do the most show, I can see the lane in him. And everyone that came with him can all suck a chrome dick. Hold on, I need a chrome rip. Cause
I don't know why these niggas think they gotta do the most. Sitting back, nigga, don't come close. Cause y'all fucking up.
So yeah, those were two tracks, you know, Dizzy calling out, you know, the fakes in the business. And just overall, both of them were fairly relaxed. Obviously, the second one a little bit more upbeat and intense. But that was fairly reflective of the album in general. Pretty good vibes. Nothing too in your face and intense, but, you know, a few upbeat tracks. But overall, pretty relaxed, and 7.5 out of 10, which is a decent score. So that is going to conclude our album review of Dizzy Writes the Golden Age 2. And we are going to move now into our new segment called What's On My Mind. So, like I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty much just going to, you know, get my thoughts out on a hotly debated topic. And one that I've been in conversation with people a lot recently, especially on my Instagram page, at The Hip Hop Enthusiast. I've been talking about it with a bunch of other pages and people who are themselves music enthusiasts. And the topic is, how long do you have to wait until you know an album is a classic, or you can define it as a classic? And it's kind of this battle between people who believe there's such thing as an instant classic, and the rest of people believe that you have to wait a while and then look back on the project to decide if it really was a classic album or not. I personally side with the second half of that argument, where you have to wait a certain time period. I'm not putting out a certain number of years. You know, I'm not saying 10 years and then you know that day. No, it doesn't work like that, but some time has to pass. Because people on the instant classic side, they really believe that you can hear an album, like it could come out, most albums come out on Fridays, so we'll just say album comes out on Friday, and they're like, oh yeah, by the end of the weekend, you know if it's a classic or not. Like, really? How? That's like 3 days. That's almost too fast to even review an album. You know, I like to listen to an album 3, 4, 5 times before I even review it, let alone, you know, call it a classic. That, for me, and I don't have a word-for-word definition of what a classic album is, but to me, in general, it would be an album with elite, high quality that has a lasting impact and is constantly referred back to as a defining album of that year or of that artist. Just something that is constantly referred back to as being elite and still has a presence and relevancy however many years after it was released. And so if that's the definition I'm working with, which I believe is a solid definition for a classic, then there can't be an instant classic because of that time period element. And a lot of people debate that, you know, that doesn't matter. It's just, you know, you can hear it. And if it's a great album, you just know it's a classic. And people said, you know, when Damn came out by Kendrick Lamar, everybody called it a classic, like a week after. And, you know, now, yeah, people still talk about it. But I see people talk about today, people talk about To Pimp a Butterfly and Good Kid, Mad City more than they talk about Damn, which came out 5 months ago. And it's those type of conversations, to me, that determine something to be a classic. You know, and that's why a bunch of these 90s albums are considered classics, because they're still talked about today, 25 years after they came out. You know, some of them, well, you know, 1999 was obviously like 18 years ago. So 18 to 28 years ago, these albums dropped, and people still talk about them and say they're some of the greatest albums of all time. That helps them become classics. Now, the quality factor is definitely important. It has to be of high quality. But I think impact and a really long shelf life helps an album become a classic more than quality at times. Obviously, that quality element is there. But I think this is probably more important. And so that's why sometimes I get a little frustrated when people say something is an instant classic. And to build off that, people say, you know, album of the year is a way too overused term. Whenever I talk about album of the year, I usually say something is, you know, in the top 10, or it's going to be competing for a top 5 or top 10 spot. Or, you know, it could even be the album of the year, but we'll see later down the line. And people will hear a great album drop, and like I said, by the end of the weekend, or within a week, they'll say, oh yeah, that's album of the year, definitely. And I'm like, it's August, or, you know, when Damn dropped in April, it's like, it's only April. How can you say that? Like, we're not even halfway through the year and you're already saying, oh yeah, it's album of the year. And the main argument I get back is like, hey man, like, it's my opinion. If I think it's the album of the year and I think it's a classic, then, you know, you have to respect that. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And, you know, I usually just let it go. But then 2 weeks later, another great album drops. You know, a couple examples this year where I saw this happen with All American Badass by Joey Badass. I saw it happen with Damn by Kendrick Lamar. I saw it happen with Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator, which just came out recently. I saw it with Saturation by Brockhampton, Big Fish Theory by Vince Staples, 444 by Jay-Z, and maybe even a few others that I'm not thinking of, you know, at the moment. But with those six or seven albums I just named, it was within a day of the album coming out, I saw people saying, oh yeah, this is the greatest album of 2017, and it's going to be a future classic. And I just think we need to pump the brakes on, you know, that type of terminology and that talk, because it's just so quick to judge an album. You really have to let it sit, and people just got to sit back and chill. And know, at the end of the year, I'll make my list on what I think are the top albums of the year, and I'll definitely share that with you guys on here. And that's when I think people can determine and put a stamp on, this is album of the year. And, you know, for classics, if we're getting back to the classic debate, it's got to be even longer. You know, in 2-3 years, if people are still talking about that album that a day after you said was a classic, then guess what? You were right. But more times than not, that's not going to be the case. Many of those albums I just named aren't going to be talked about in years to come. They're going to be forgotten about. And most of them, for the most part, have already been not completely forgotten about, but they're not talked about like they used to be when they just dropped. And so I think people are way too quick to judge. And it's definitely one of the reasons that many modern albums aren't widely considered classics, is due to this like time period argument that I subscribe to and I believe is the correct definition of a classic. And I think it's the new generation, the younger generation who listen to hip hop, and they want their era to be the best, I think, which is completely fair. I would love for the 10s to be the best decade of hip-hop music of all time. And I could say, you know, I grew up and I was there when it was happening, and I heard it as it came to be, but that just isn't the case. I really think the 90s are significantly better, and I think the 2000s are still even a little better. And I think people just want the 10s to be the best decade because that's the music they listen to currently. And so they're so quick to judge something as a classic and say it's the best album of the year and say that the artist is, you know, top 10 all time and all this stuff. And it just leads to a lot of somewhat pointless conversations, which I guess this one is becoming, because whatever I say, they're not going to stop calling things instant classics. And really, I should probably get over it, but that's why we're doing this segment. You know, what's on my mind? I'm just going to rant for a little bit, get my thoughts out. I know I'd love to hear what you guys think. You can go interact, you know, with my page on Instagram, at the Hip Hop Enthusiast, or if you know me personally, you can send me a message. There should be an email link also attached to the podcast, so you can share your thoughts through there. I'd love to hear from you guys, you know, especially on this topic, because, you know, I want to have a good debate about this, and unfortunately I don't have, you know, a co-host or someone in here to talk about it with me. But if anybody's interested and wants to debate me on the subject, I'd love to have you on, so please let me know. But yeah, that's how I feel about the instant classic debate. I think you have to wait, and I think people are way too quick to judge, and they just got to chill out and let some time pass, and then we'll look back and we'll make a decision. But, you know, a week in or even a month in is too quick, you know, in my opinion. And, you know, that's what it is. It's just my thoughts, my opinion. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe you disagree. But yeah, so that's what's on my mind. And I kind of like doing that. I wasn't sure I was going to have a great time with this segment, but I really got into it. So maybe I will try to include this. You know, maybe I'll start doing less album reviews, and instead I'll start doing this What's On My Mind segment, because this is fun, and I think it's more interactive. It gets you guys involved, especially if you can reach out to me via, you know, any of the methods I mentioned earlier. And, you know, it just helps us have a good discussion and conversation about music and hip-hop. So we're going to move on now that I got my rant off my chest. Feels a lot better. Feels like, you know, I really got a weight off my shoulders, so thanks for enduring that and listening. But we're going to move on to Song of the Week. And just as I predicted, like last week and the week before, when I had to play Brockhampton because they dropped fire singles, they dropped another one, but I didn't put it as Song of the Week. It was great. It was called Junkie. You can check it out. They have the music video up on YouTube. I'm sure it'll be up on streaming platforms soon. It's usually a couple days delay. But it's called Junkie. Check it out. It is a great song. It still got me hyped for Saturation 2. There was just a couple other songs, and one in particular that I'm going to play as a song of the week, that caught my attention a little bit more. I didn't think Junkie was as good as Swamp and Gummy, which I've played the past 2 weeks by Brockhampton. So for this week, our song of the week is Radio by Rex Life Raj. And Rex Life Raj is definitely a guy that not too many people know of. I got into him because he dropped an album in 2016 called Father Figure, and I was a big fan of it. A lot of great songs on there. He's somewhere in between. He's probably more of an R&B artist than a rapper, but he definitely is like blurring the lines. He's kind of like in between. You know, he never really does straight raps, but I wouldn't necessarily classify him as a singer, per se. So he's definitely in between, and you'll get a feel for that on this song here. The chorus on this isn't great. It's pretty average. He's definitely going for like a mainstream attempt to try to get his name out there. And it's a song, like the title suggests, that could be played on the radio, even though, as he says in the song, that it might not be. And you'll see what I mean by that when I play the song in a little bit. But it's a single, hopefully for some type of upcoming project. I'd love to get new music from Rex Life Raj, and I'd love to see him get, you know, his name out there, get more popular and more people talking about him, because I am a big fan of his music, although it is in short supply at the moment. I believe it came out probably a week to 2 weeks ago, somewhere in that window. And, you know, there's no features on it. It's just him, which most of his songs that I've heard don't have features. Maybe that's something he'll incorporate when he gets a bigger following and, you know, he has more connections in the industry, but we'll see. Hopefully he's got some type of project coming to follow this up. But until then, you can just, you know, jam out to this single. So this is Radio by Rex Life Raj.
This might not make it to radio, but up and away we go. Got tired of taking losses, about time that we take control.
It's about time that we take control. It's about time that we take control.
Universal law, you can't get in my way. I've been manifesting everything that I say. Hey, I still think that I'm too big for the bay. Hop inside the rental, took a trip to LA, where everybody act real, but we know that they ain't real. Recognize real, and you don't look familiar. Searching for fulfillment, feelings. Who you trying to impress? I see it in your eyes. False arrogance, you wear it like it's a disguise. What you accomplished to make you so pompous? I know them illusions got a way on your conscience. Look at my movement, I stayed true, gave them the blueprint. A lot of room for improvement, I'm only a human. Never judge a flower while it's still blooming. I keep it lit every time, cause I'm always assuming.
This might not make it to radio, but up and away we go. Got tired of taking losses, about time that we take control. To radio, but up and away we go. Got tired of taking losses, about time that we take control. Oh, oh.
Gotta put your foot on the gas in they neck. Got it out the mud, I need all my respect. Sending cold shoulders when they send their requests. Tell me where was you when I was lonely and depressed. When I ain't have a dime to my name. Working for my folks, wasn't getting paid. Cause the business real slow. Fucked off by the one I thought that I could lean on. Ever since then, I can't trust these hoes, should've known. Bounce back, now I'm putting on, yeah. I know myself cause I've been alone. Gotta cut the dead weight when they tag along. 6'3", but this last year, look at how we grown. And stayed true, gave him the blueprint. How you giving the game, it wasn't ever no student. And wonder why these niggas look at you like you stupid. I keep it lit every time cause I'm always assuming.
This might not make it to radio, up and away we go.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that one. That's the song of the week, Radio by Rex Life Raj. Just as a quick reference, because he's not that well known, I just want to shout out three songs you could also listen to him, to by him, I'm sorry. That'll be Handheld GPS, Running Man, and Yellow Brick Roads. All three of those songs are some of my favorites by him, and it'll give you a good feel for the type of music he makes. It's pretty similar to like Radio, like you heard. It's kind of that smooth, relaxed, conscious type lyrics, you know, that he had on there. And, you know, I think he's got a chance to be a great up-and-coming artist. I'd love to see him on the XXL freshman list, you know, maybe next year. I think he'd be a great choice for that. That would help get his name out there. And we'll see where this single goes. I know it's on Apple Music's Hot Tracks. That's where I get my music. I can't really speak for the other streaming services, but I'm sure they have a similar, you know, application. And hopefully it's on there as well, too. So, you know, go check it out. And, yeah, hopefully we get some new music from Rex Life Raj soon. But speaking of new music, we do have some big announcements for albums that will be coming out soon. So, as I mentioned last episode, we will have coming this August 18th, we will get a new ASAP Ferg album, Still Striving, and we will get somewhat of a surprise album, Paranoia by Dave East. He announced that about a week and a half ago. I think I mentioned that in the last episode. And then August 25th is going to be a crazy day for music. It has a chance to be, you know, I had said earlier in the year that when Flower Boy, Wins and Losses, and Nick at Night all dropped on the same day, that was the best week for hip-hop. You know, this could be it. It's got a chance that we will have a new Action Bronson album coming, Blue Chip 7000. We'll be getting our first actual full-length XXXTentacion album, 17. We have Maiden TYO, or Maiden Tokyo, however you want to pronounce his name. He was an XXL freshman this year. He'll be dropping his debut project, True's World. We're getting an ASAP Mob collab album, Cozy Tapes Volume 2. And just two, maybe 3 days ago, we got some huge news that after all these singles they've been dropping, Brockhampton is releasing Saturation 2, the follow-up to Saturation, their debut album that came out in May, I believe it was. And so we'll be getting that follow-up, which I'm really excited for. As you guys know, I talk about them most episodes. I try not to do repeats of artists, but they're just my favorite group out right now, my favorite thing in hip-hop at the moment. So you can imagine I'm really excited for this album. I really think it will be great. And I mean, wow, five albums, notable albums coming out on August 25th, which will be a week from Friday. So I don't know what I'm going to do for reviewing all those. Maybe some of them I'll just skip or give a short snippet on. But we'll see. It'll be a crazy week for hip-hop, and I'm really excited about it, and hopefully you guys are too. You know, all the music enthusiasts out there should be getting some great material. So we'll end on that note. Saturation 2 coming August 25th, along with, you know, a host of other albums. And I hope you guys enjoyed the What's On My Mind segment that we did today. There just wasn't another album I wanted to do a review on. Nothing really that piqued my interest that I wanted to listen to. So, you know, Dizzy Wright, you know, he satisfied me for the week. Good album, solid music. And I'm just going to be gearing up for the next couple weeks here. So stick with us. We'll be back next week. You know, episodes drop every Saturday. We'll be sticking with that schedule. And yeah, until then, go enjoy some great music. Go listen to some new albums. And maybe check out some of the older projects by guys who are releasing soon, so you have a little bit of background on that artist and you know what type of music they make, and can put their new albums into context and understand where they're going with their music. That's one of my favorite things, you know, understanding the history of the artists and the rappers, and just in general, I love the history of music. I always listen to stuff from, you know, 90s and 80s and whatever it is. I'm just, you know, like my name implies, an enthusiast. So that'll wrap up Hip Hop Enthusiast Episode 7. Your host, Kyle French, signing off, and just can't wait for the next 2 weeks. So I'll see you guys then. Peace.